Well, where would you rather be on a Wednesday night in February, but in church in Florida? We'll be in the Italian prophet tonight, Malachi, last book of your Old Testament. Good to be here. Great to see the Rileys here tonight. Folks have special friends of our ministry and love them. Good to see Mrs. Vicky Christian and Nancy here. And what a surprise for her. I knew she was going to be here, but she didn't know I was going to be here. So some of our folks from back home there, we just thank the Lord for them having a good time with our grandchildren. And just a real blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you we got a Bible. Thank you that we got a direction. We've got an owner's manual in an upside-down world, Lord. It sure is good to know what we believe and why we believe it. It sure is good to have an anchor in a weary, troubled, awful world, Lord. I'm glad we could huddle tonight, Lord, and just get into the Word. I pray, bless us, Lord. Meet each and every need. You know I'm undone. And I need you desperately tonight. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, God speaking. If then I be a father. Now, you know they didn't write that today. Because young people don't have respect for their parents. I mean, you guys do. I'm talking about the world out there. Amen. It's just a given that young people respect authority, or at least it used to be. So a good thing we got the old Bible. I don't know what the new ones say. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, which he is, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? Is in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? I mean, would the governor of Florida or the president of the United States or the CEO of your company accept what you give to God? And I don't just mean monetarily. I mean all the way around. Your attitude, your effectiveness. How would that be? God said, would the governor accept what you're giving me? Implication, no, he wouldn't. 9, and now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. They got to get something. They got to get recognition. They got to get money. They got to get some kind of something to serve God. They just can't do it for God. I have no pleasure in you. That's a bad day when God says that. Saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Thank God for that. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it. Saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Saith the Lord. So in the passage, God is addressing these Old Testament priests, and you know the tendency would be say, well, you know we don't have that anymore. That's not for us. But we want to be careful not to cut so sharp of lines in our Bibles and in our study that we lose the practical application for us in New Testament times. Because, you know, although we in the New Testament don't subscribe to the Aaronic priesthood and that of Aaron like they did in the Old Testament, We certainly in Peter are referred to as a royal priesthood. I think the P in Baptist stands for the priesthood of the believers. So we may be far from the Old Testament priesthood, but we're not so far off the map that we can't get some help from practical application. That, Lord willing, what I want to give you tonight as we walk down the corridor of this text for a little Wednesday night perusal. Look at verse 6 there. Interesting. God is sort of rebuking. It reminds me of a teenager. I love teenagers. That's why I'm on them so much. You know, nitroglycerin is good for the heart. Nitroglycerin is used in dynamite, you know. And so if you're looking for fluff and you're looking for ginger snaps tonight, you might get a little nitroglycerin instead. But I promise you, you'll be good. You won't have a heart attack. Amen. Verse 6. A son honors his father, servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name. And you say, where have we despised thy name? Now that sounds like a rebellious kid that you're getting in his face to tell him the way it is. You know, they grew up, they were born under a pew, they grew up in church, they just like Cain, they know what the expectation is, and all of a sudden, what? What did I do? I still love God. I'm still reading my Bible. Priests are saying that. What's wrong with everybody? No, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Now watch. Watch what these priests are saying. Wherein have we despised thy name? Look at verse 7. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, here's what they're saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Look at verse 12. But ye have profaned it in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Polluted. The offerings are torn. They're maimed. They're blind. They're sick. They're corrupted. They're bringing animals, right? They're bringing doves. They're bringing turtle doves. They're bringing lambs. They're bringing and they're bringing their busted up stuff. Roadkill. You Southerners know what that is, right? Yeah, amen. They were bringing it to God, though. Contemptible. Despised, disgraced, disdained, and scoffed at. So the offerings are polluted. And the offerings are being despised. Not by God, because the priests are the ones that saying it's contemptible. So unless I'm missing something here, question number one, what makes the Lord's table polluted? The offerings, the polluted offerings make the Lord's table polluted. The blind, the broken, the sick, the maimed. Question number two, who's doing the offering? The priests are doing the offering. So in effect, the priests are snuffing and scorning and despising and disgracing and disdained at the mess that they're making. God's saying, you're offering this polluted stuff, and then you look at it and say, this is polluted. The defilers are saying, this place is defiled. Those that are making it bad are saying, this place is bad. They're critical of the sin that is a product of their actions in the house of God. God isn't bringing the torn beasts. God isn't bringing the blind lambs and the sick doves. These guys are offering junk. Their attitudes stink. They're going through the motions. They've lost their zeal. They've lost their love for the things of God, the Word of God, the sacrifice of God, the temple of God. They are the cause of the demise of the whole shooting match. And they're condemning the shooting match. I could just hear those Old Testament priests like many times I've seen some New Testament priests. And I'm talking about the priesthood of believers, not the guy down at the Catholic Church.
Just not what it used to be.
Let me ask you something. Are you what you used to be? There's just no fire no more. Are you still on fire? Or is it your calling to put out the fire?
Seems like something's missing.
Yeah, maybe your heart. And by the time it's over, the priest is more blind than the blind offering they're bringing. It's polluted. They're the ones polluting it, and they're criticizing it. In a critical spirit towards the things of God, always ends in, look at verse 13 here. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. There is no weary like religious weary. There is no toil. I'm talking about religion without heart. I'm talking about there's no toil like religious toil that Jesus isn't the middle of. There is no labor. There is no labor. You could mix. Brother Don over here could have you mixing the concrete by hand with the sand and the Portland and the stones together. There is no labor like going through the motions of religion without fire and without heart and without Christ. That's what these guys are doing. And you know what it is? What a weariness it is. But I gotta go. I gotta show up. It's what we've always done. Listen, now sin aside, dark hearts aside, evil aside, can I say this? Doing good things for a long time will wear you out. Thus the New Testament admonition to not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we pray, if we faint not. In that Old Testament priesthood is written for, and Testament is written for our admonition and learning. Listen, I don't ever want to come to the point where I'm displeasing God and I'm so far gone that I don't even know it. Don't you see people like that all the time? Our young people will grow up and, like I said earlier, they say, what? What's the matter? I'm okay. You are? I've been preaching this, I'm preaching through Malachi, and I got stuck in a verse in chapter 2 that says, lay it to heart, and I've been preaching on the heart for like 6 weeks. You know, we have this thing to say, well, he's got a good heart. No, he doesn't. I learned something before I got saved. I knew this. I didn't have to get saved to learn this. If you've got a bag and you're pouring it out and dirt's coming out, it's a dirt bag. So when fornication and evil and adultery and murders and lies is coming out of the mouth, guess what's in the heart? So don't say, oh, I know he's going through it, but he's got a good heart. He's got a wicked heart. And until we get our foundation right that the heart is wicked, how are we going to give our young people any help? That was just a side note. I couldn't help it. Amen. They didn't even know. What were they getting tired of? Well, I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess by what the Scriptures teach and where they're at here and where I can get at from time to time, and I'm sure you'll be able to relate. Exodus chapter 31. What a weariness it is. I didn't get saved until I was 26. That means I've been reading the Bible for 33 years. But some of you younger folks, you're 40 and you've been reading it for 33 years. For me, it was new and exciting. You guys grew up in it. There's some challenges in that. Exodus chapter 31, 16. What did they grow tired of? Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual. That's a big word. That's a commitment word. That's a, we're starting this now, and we're never stopping it. That's a, I'm getting in, and I'm never getting out. A perpetual covenant. Never ceasing. Continuing without intermission. Like video games, right? I'm in Starbucks yesterday, you know, kind of trying to, I don't know what to order. I call it $6 because the coffee's so expensive, you know. I'm thinking, look at all these smart people in here, man. I mean, they all got their college books open, and I was a little intimidated sitting next to this guy here, and I kind of peeked over. He's playing a video game. No intermission in the Sabbaths. Never ceasing. Continuing forever. I think those Old Testament priests got tired of the Sabbath. We saw that in Nehemiah. We saw that. That was usually their demise. That's when the trouble started. But just in their defense, as far as the flesh is concerned, by the time we get to Malachi, they've been keeping that Sabbath for 800 years. No cooking, no cleaning, no working, no buying, and I'm not preaching on that now. I'm just talking about no selling while watching the world buy and sell and sport and thrill and spill, and we got to go to church again. And I was born under the pew, and I was on drugs. Mom and Dad drug me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the meetings, and I'm missing the game, and I'm missing this, and I'm missing that. And for too many that used to come with anticipation, I've seen them come to the place where they're barely coming at all. And saying, what? And thinking something happened to the church when in effect it happened to them. They got tired of the Sabbath. Exodus 29. Going through the motions, man, it's labor. Faking it is labor. You better get your heart in this thing. Exodus 29:9. Thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. You think you guys? I know. I see some of you dressed. You got a little tie on here. You probably because you have to. Maybe some because you want to. And you whine about it. How'd you like to have to wear a bonnet and a girdle? Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual... That's that big word again. Tired of the Sabbath, tired of the attire. Now, get a little bit in there and think with me about these guys. It's not, the priest is not like the flannel graph, where he's got like a halo, and everything is radiant and shining. It's bloody, it's smelly, it's smoky. I like smoking, not this, but meat, you know. And once in a while, Brother Don, I'll be getting to check that thing before we leave for church. And if I'm there a second, man, it's smoke. Smoke gets it. And God said, and I want you not to sweat when you do it. Clean, right. And I bet you the first time that Aaron walked out of there, man, those people were excited. Look at the glory. Look at the mitre. Look at the ephod. Look at the pomegranate and bell and pomegranate and bell. Look at the glory. And now for 900 years. All right, let's get the breeches. Let's get to this. Let's get to that. Let's get to... They got wore out. Tired of it. Tired of what God likes. I remember now, I came out of the world. When I learned about convictions, I was excited. I mean, if you said that black jelly beans were spiritual, I'd say pass the bag. When I learned about dressing for God and living for God and your entertainment should be approved of, man, that got exciting. Then I have these eight daughters Last week the wind chill was 24 below. And they all got their skirts on. But after doing that for years and years and years and years, you know what most are doing? Let's go to the Chuck E. Cheese church. They don't care. I'm tired of this. Let's go to the beach church. Flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop.
Yeah, I'm very tired. I cut my hair.
How'd you like to wear a bonnet, man? And here's what they do. I mean, it's a mirror of the Bible. They get tired of it. They get weary of it. They fight against it. And then just like the priests, all of a sudden, the people that are trying to hang on, they're contemptible. They're legalist. They're judgmental. They don't have any love. If you're not careful, you get weary in well-doing. And you get so blinded if you don't keep your heart in it and you don't keep your relationship with Jesus Christ in it and you don't keep God in it, you go so far gone, you'll be criticizing others for doing what you always did. Especially young people. Tired of the Sabbath, tired of the attire. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, verse 8, "And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." Don't, I want you to light that thing. I want you to light it every day. And oil, incense, and there's furnishings in there, and I don't ever, ever, ever want that light to go out forever. Tired of letting their light shine. You know what it said in 1 Samuel? Ere the lamp of God went out. They came to the point where they said, what's the difference if our light shines? What's the difference if we're peculiar? What? It's not working anyways. It's too much work. You ever get weary of fighting the flesh? You ever get weary of doing it God's way and living in a fishbowl and this world just waiting for you to mess up? Weary of clean living? Weary of... I don't envy you young people. I grew up in the world. It dawned on me the other day, Brother Don, we lived wicked lives. But I think lost, we had less opportunity than these guys do save. Because that little thing you carry in your pocket, that Bible says, go not the way to her house. Now the house is in your pocket. I don't envy. You're going to have to be super spiritual man to make it. And you're going to get tired. When everybody's doing it, and then within the church, everybody else is doing it, and your little old mom and dad say, but you ain't doing it. My dad said, if they jumped off the bridge, would you go with them? He'd give me the Italian 45, man, four this way and five this way. I don't care what they're doing. I said, I'm going to get an earring. He said, I'll cut your ear off. And I believed him. I'm getting a tattoo. I'll cut your arm off. Now they get them everywhere. They'd have to cut your nose off, cut your head off. You're going to get tired, man. Being geeks. Being peculiar. Being weird. Listen. You'll never make it. I'm preaching to these young people. It's like a youth meeting. You'll never make it just playing defense, man. You'll never make this. Just look good and carry. You got to go on offense. One time I was in a before Harbor Freight, they used to have tool sales. It was those kind of tools, but you had to go to a place. And man, I'm in there, and this guy's cursing God's name, cursing God's name, cursing God's name. I took it for about as long as I could. And there's a bunch of burly people in this place. But I wasn't scared before, and I'm not scared now. And I said, and he's Jesus, this and Jesus. And finally I said, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely. And some guy over here said, I like that song. Some lady over here started singing with me. You got to go on offense, or you're not going to make it. Listen, listen. You can have the best defense in the league, but you're never going to score. That means you're never going to win. They got tired of the Sabbath. They got tired of the attire. They got tired of letting their light shine. Exodus chapter 25. You might have to separate from the guy sitting next to you. You don't have to be an idiot about it. You don't have to be holier than thou. Just kind of ease on down the road, or you're not going to make it. Because Satan wants you, and chances are, and I've been in churches all over, and I've been in the world all over, he'll get you with what's in here. If you're harbored from what out, if you're sheltered from what's out there, he'd gladly use what's in here to get you. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 30. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. There's that big word again. They got tired of the bread. Every Sabbath, 12 fresh loaves a certain way. And then you take the stuff and you just throw it out. And then you make more. 800 years. And now it's polluted. That means moldy. That means it's no good. And they're saying, it's polluted. Because you're polluted. Because you're not changing the bread out, dummy. You're not getting fresh bread. You're complaining that the bread is stale, but you're supposed to be the one contributing to the recipe. Go to Numbers 21.
I'm not getting fed.
Numbers 21, verse 5. This is amazing. When people get away from God, they go goofy. That's how we Italians say it. Goofy, crazy, whatever you want to call it. Let's start in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is, what's the next word? No bread. Neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this. Say the next two words. I thought there was no bread. You ever get that from your kids? There's nothing to eat. There's bologna. There's eggs. There's jam, there's cereal, there's walnuts. I mean, nothing to eat. There's no bread, and we don't like this light bread. If you don't keep your quiet time fresh, I'm talking about getting God in it, the bread's going to get moldy. And you know what the preacher will sound like you? Now, you kids are probably so sheltered, you don't have TVs and all that stuff. And if you did, you wouldn't have the good stuff like we used to have anyways. The preacher will start to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. And you'll walk in and you'll walk out the same way you walked in. They got tired of the fresh bread. And then you'll complain understand the bread is stale and it's just not what it used to be. Listen, our church time under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God will only be as good as our quiet time with Him when we're alone. I'm a firm believer in that. You better get some hot, fresh stuff alone, and then when you come in here, a billy goat could be preaching and you'd be saying, Amen! Tired of the Sabbath, tired of the attire, tired of letting their light shine, tired of the bread. Lastly, you say, preacher, how come you didn't do 3 or 5 points? Because I thought you might be tired of 3 and 5, 7-point sermons. Leviticus chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 6. Weary and well-doing. I'm not preaching at you, man. I'm preaching at me. Those, Don, how old were you when you got saved? How old were you when you got saved?
28.
Can I ask you how old you are now? How many years you've been serving the Lord?
40.
Them priests, man, 30 to 50. They had like a, they did like the sheriff's department, man. 20 years, they was out. That old man's hanging sheetrock for God. He built us a 10,000 square foot building. He's an animal. Leviticus 6, verse 20. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything that he hath done. And the Lord spake unto Moses. I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 20. This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a meat offering. Say it, perpetual. Half in the morning and half thereof at night. How come I can't just do it all in the morning and then go play with my friends at night? How come I can't just do it all in the morning or at night and then, because God likes it, half in the morning and half at night. And you do good to get under your parents, even with stuff that you think is stupid, because you're going to get out there in life, and your wife and husband is going to want you to do stuff that you think is stupid, and God's going to want you to do stuff that you think is stupid, and the pastor is going to want you to do stuff that you think is stupid, and all the while, you're going to be the one that's really stupid. They're tired of giving, man. They're tired of the sacrifice. They started under Moses. Remember with Moses, hey, bring the stuff. He said, stop. I've never heard a preacher say stop. You know, Moses was not a Baptist. You can't bring no more. Solomon, they couldn't count it. The people were excited to give. Time we get to Malachi. 800 years. Some of you have been tithing for 30, 40, 50 years, given to missions. And man, can I ever get ahead? If you're not careful, if you don't see God in that thing, you will get weary. You'll start to... What they did, they started stealing from God. They started spelling God backwards and giving Him the leftovers. That's bad when you get there, man. And that's labor. That's labor. And then you start doing just like them. You start, oh, all they do is talk about money. Down there. You've been there for 30 years, and now all of a sudden, all they do is talk about money. Number one, no, they don't. Number two, you used to not mind, if that is the case. Number three, maybe if you got in on the action, they wouldn't have to. Tired of the Sabbath, tired of the attire, tired of the shining the light, tired of the bread, tired of giving. And what started as weary ended up critical. And now they are a mess, part of a mess that they are criticizing. And here's what's scary about Malachi. It was their last call. God, there's no long suffering like the long suffering of our God. But there is an end. There's a verse that says, be sure your sin will find you out. I'm glad He's long-suffering in that, and it doesn't always find you out maybe the very first time. But there comes a time, God called that nation, and I think it was worse than being carried into captivity. You know what He did? He just stopped speaking. And for 400 years, they got nothing. I learned this word from my kids. I heard it once in a while. Don't ever use it to your parents. If you use it to my father, you'd be on the floor. But it's this word, and it really has a definition. It's meh. M-E-H. Meh. It's like, I don't care. It's exactly what those priests had. They came to the point, church, meh. Healing, meh. Missions conference used to be exciting, meh. And not to be disrespectful, but just to make a point. And after a whole bunch of years of that, you know what God said about them? Meh. Then I won't talk to you either. I don't ever want to come to that time. Jacob? I don't ever want church to get dull. I don't ever want convictions to get laborious. I don't ever want the lamp of God to go out in my life. I don't ever want the bread to get stale. Maybe some of you need to start tomorrow morning. I need some fresh bread. You guys that preach in these prisons, these rest homes, these keep it fresh. And the older you get, I thought it would get easier. It seems to get harder. But you must replace that bread. Jacob?